We've been reporting all this week on children and mental health, how it's a much bigger problem than realized for some school-age kids, and how little equipped educators are to handle it. But many experts believe when it comes to brain development, waiting for kindergarten is too late. And with these littlest kids, no one, parents, doctors, teachers, is really looking for the danger signs. Today, in the final part of our series between WAMU and NPR Ed, we're going to New York, to the Bronx. Kavitha Cardoza takes us to a children's hospital there and a program that's become nationally known for identifying the earliest indicators that something could be wrong.
Rahil Briggs, a child psychologist, is walking the corridors of the pediatrics department at the Montefiore Comprehensive Healthcare Center. We're in the South Bronx, New York. It's one of the poorest urban areas in the country. Crying babies don't faze Briggs. She looks serene, like she's just finished a yoga class. Briggs says babies' brains are sticky.
Their brains are disproportionately receptive. So whatever we throw sticks. That's why they can learn Spanish in 6 months and it takes us 6 years. But that's also why if they're exposed to community violence or domestic violence, it really sticks.
Briggs watches both baby and parent. Does a baby look to the parent for comfort? And does the parent respond? That interaction shows her whether an infant feels secure. And when a baby feels secure, it's far more likely their social and emotional development will be healthy. And that's the foundation of mental health.
If a baby feels safe, a baby will explore. And if a baby explores, a baby will learn.
What can interfere with that learning? Multiple risk factors make it more likely children could develop a mental illness later on. For example, divorce, neighborhood violence, poverty. So she says focusing on these children makes sense. Briggs says we know half of all children with mental illness show symptoms before they're 14. So paying attention long before they start school makes sense.
I don't want to wait until a child has missed 5 days of school because his anxiety is so bad that he can't get on the school bus. That to me is a red flag. I want to see the pink flags. And what I mean by that is the first day that he starts to chew on his shirt a little bit when you say tomorrow is school. Just the early, early warning signs of something going wrong.
The best place to do this, she believes, is in a pediatrician's office. It's a place all new mothers bring their babies regularly. It's also a place they trust. And that's the whole point of the Healthy Steps Initiative. In this program, staff with an expertise in early childhood mental health are close on hand.
Hi.
Hey, we got traffic.
Oh my goodness.
Pediatrician Dr. Nina Castelnuovo bumps into a stroller as she enters the room. It's a full house today. There's Catherine and her three daughters, two-year-old Emma Rose and one-year-old twins Kimberly Rose and Emily Rose. We're not using their last names to protect their privacy.
You want to go next?
I'm going to listen. Let's find your heart. Do you hear it?
Boom, 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 boom.
Pediatricians typically spend 15 minutes with each patient, so there's no way Castelnuovo has time for a lot more than a physical exam. And Catherine is worried about her daughter Emma Rose's weight. The little girl hasn't put on any pounds in the last year.
It's like the big deal of this appointment. It's like her weight. She got to be at least 24, 25. She's still 23. I don't know.
Emma Rose has been in the third percentile of weight for her age for a long time, and it's upsetting her mother a lot. Catherine says cooking something different for one child is stressful, and often that doesn't work either.
She won't want it. She'll eat it and gaggle and get nauseous.
I think she can also pick up a little bit that you're anxious about this,
yeah.
You know?
Castelnuovo brings in Rahil Briggs, the child psychologist, and introduces her personally to this family.
Hi, how are you? Good to see you.
It's what's called a warm handoff, and it makes it much more likely they'll actually see someone instead of disappearing down the rabbit hole of outside referrals. Briggs says battles over feeding, toilet training, and sleep might be symptomatic of an underlying struggle. She says several issues that might present as physical problems, like weight, stomach aches, and tantrums, if excessive, might have psychological roots.
Something like 90% of kids who look like failure to thrive, it's mostly in the social relationships and the parent-child relationships and not something medical.
Again, those little pink flags. Briggs is reassuring with Catherine, and they work out a plan for Emma.
We never want to force her to eat. We don't want to get into that struggle with her, into that back and forth.
Briggs will follow up with this family in a few months to see whether Emma Rose has gained weight. She says it's about empowering parents so they feel more confident. Less stress means a better parent-child relationship. Briggs makes it very clear, though, she's not diagnosing little tots as mentally ill. It's about those little pink flags.
I know a lot of people feel like normal childhood suddenly gets a diagnosis now, and that's not at all what we're trying to do. Everything starts somewhere. Diabetes starts somewhere, obesity starts somewhere, and mental illness starts somewhere.
Briggs says she's trying to focus on that starting point, because if we can predict it, she says, we can prevent it. I'm Kavita Kadoza.
For more resources on identifying the symptoms of mental illness and on how to get help, you can go to WAMU.org. You can listen to the other parts in our series on children and mental health there as well. And as we finish the series, we'd like to say thank you to WAMU's Chris Chester and Ashley Dajon, as well as NPR Ed's Steve Drummond, Alyssa Nadworny, Acacia Squires, Sammy Yenigan, and L.A. Johnson.